Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, November 1st. Three military units from Colorado Springs are headed out to support border security efforts. Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange KRCC's Andrea Chalfin has more.
Two units from Fort Carson and another from U.S. Northern Command at Peterson Air Force Base are among the estimated more than 7,000 troops heading to the southwestern border. The mission is called Operation Faithful Patriot, and among its goals is to provide planning and logistical support to U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The units come at the request of the Department of Homeland Security to help the agency impede or deny what's being described as illegal crossings and to contribute to the overall border security mission. For 91.5 KRCC News, I'm Andrea Chalfin.
Water managers along the Colorado River are trying to figure out how to live with less. Climate change is growing the gap between the river's supply and demands in the seven states that use it. The federal government recently released proposals designed to keep the river's biggest reservoirs from crashing. Reporters Luke Runyon from KUNC in Colorado and Brett Jaspers from KJZZ in Arizona break things down for us.
Let's dig into what's actually in these plans. To start, I think it's probably important to know that the river is divided into two halves, the upper basin, which includes Rocky Mountain states,
and the lower basin, states that make up the desert Southwest.
Both are having big problems with their main reservoirs. In the upper basin, it's Lake Powell. Water levels there are dropping fast. But at the same time, there's no incentive for people in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico to conserve water and fill it up.
And in the lower basin, the problem is overuse. Essentially, more water exists on paper than in the river itself, and that supply-demand gap is causing the country's biggest reservoir, Lake Mead, to drop as well. So, Luke, what's the upper basin solution?
One big piece is a water bank. Think of Lake Powell like a checking account. Water comes in and goes out based on the needs downstream. But for a long time now, more has left the account than come in. And there's a worry that eventually the check will bounce, that downstream states will order water and the account will be empty. That could kick off years of litigation, something Wyoming State Engineer Pat Terrell definitely doesn't want to happen.
That is a parade of horribles that we don't want to see. And so Mother Nature is really kind of forcing us to the table right now. And
staying with the banking analogy, how do they propose to keep things in the black?
They basically want to create a savings account within the reservoir. This would be a pool of water just to make sure they never run a deficit. Water would stay in Lake Powell and only get released downstream if the entire account was nearly in the red. And it could be used as sort of a last-ditch emergency cash payment to states like California, Nevada, and Arizona.
What do people up there think about that idea?
Well, the creation of the savings account itself isn't controversial. It's the how you fill it up part that gets people nervous, because there's lots of unanswered questions about how you do that. But for now, Wyoming's Terrell says they're just concerned with creating the savings account.
This cake isn't baked. We haven't even opened the door to the kitchen yet. All we're getting so far is the ability to store some water.
So, Brett, what's going on where you are?
Well, the lower basin deal is unique because for the first time, California's willing to cut back its water deliveries under certain conditions.
Don't they have the most primo rights on the river?
They do, but in the lower basin plan, they've agreed to take cutbacks when Lake Mead drops below a certain level. And they're now willing to do that partly because California has an incentive, a decade-old program called Intentionally Created Surplus, or ICS.
How does that work?
Well, before ICS was a thing, a water user had to take its water or lose it. But now a user can conserve water on Lake Mead and then get the water back at a later date, thereby intentionally creating a surplus for itself. The new drought contingency plan would expand the ICS program, and that's got everyone on board.
How so?
Well, it removes limits on when water can be withdrawn. Now, there's some disagreement about what the current rules say, but the DCP should remove a lot of that ambiguity. And so all the states have more reason to store water on Lake Mead because they have more flexibility in withdrawing it later.
And it seems like whether these plans actually come together is still a pretty big if.
And there's a tight timeline. Federal officials want this done by the end of the year.
That's one source of pressure on these water managers. Another is the weather. If it's another dry winter, expect the heat to get turned up even more to get these agreements done. I'm Luke Runyon in Colorado.
And I'm Brett Jaspers in Arizona.
This story is part of Elemental, covering sustainability, a new multimedia collaboration between public radio and TV stations in the West, and part of ongoing Colorado River coverage in partnership with KUNC and supported by a Walton Family Foundation grant. Colorado voters' choice for governor could have a lasting impact on whether the state goes down a path forged by the Trump administration to allow insurance plans that eliminate protections under the Affordable Care Act. Eric Gladys has more.
Open enrollment for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act kicks off today in Colorado, but recent moves by the Trump administration could have a big impact on how much coverage some consumers will actually get. In October, the administration introduced a new guidance that allows states to sidestep some ACA requirements, and Adam Fox with the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative says the move could speed up the rollout of what he calls junk health plans.
Which don't have to cover people with pre-existing conditions. They can charge you more based on your health status, and they don't have to comply with many of the other consumer protections under the Affordable Care Act.
Fox says these plans could lead to a patchwork of coverage standards similar to what existed before the ACA created national standards in the individual market. The Trump administration says the guidance is necessary due to rising insurance costs and claims it will expand consumer choice and reduce regulatory burdens. Fox notes that while premiums for young and healthy people might be more affordable on the front end, the elimination of ACA protections, including annual and lifetime limits on out-of-pocket costs, could end up costing a lot more if people develop serious health conditions. He adds that hospitals and ultimately taxpayers could end up on the hook when patients can't pay their bills.
Allowing these junk insurance plans, these short-term plans, doesn't really change the underlying healthcare costs. It just means that you will have less coverage when you actually need care.
Fox says because the new guidance allows states to transfer tax credits and financial assistance from full coverage plans to subsidize cheaper plans, the move would undermine the Affordable Care Act's financial stability. He adds Colorado's choice for governor could be the deciding factor on whether the state follows the Trump administration guidance or not. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, November 1st. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.